This is the Australia Report with CEO of the New South Wales Jewish Board of Deputies, Vic Aladef. Good day, mate.
Vic Aladef, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning, Howard. I'm very well, thank you. Good to talk to you.
Nice to speak to you. Tell us about the Amulco Lifer case. Can you bring us up to date? Where are we with this?
Well, it's a good question, and there's no clear answer, sadly. So there are two things, two dates at play here. So the first one is that there are, that September 21 is when the Israeli court will make a determination on whether or not she can be extradited to Australia to face 74 charges of child sexual abuse. So that's just shy of 60 days, September 21. However, her defense, Malka Leifer's defense, is going to appeal against the May ruling that she is mentally fit, and this is going to take place in the Supreme Court tomorrow. So, first of all, there's this case tomorrow, this appeal tomorrow, and then, obviously, that will play into what happens on September 21. So there are two significant court dates coming up, the one tomorrow and the one in just shy of 60 days. So it's certainly getting towards the pointy end of this long, long saga. But given that we are talking about two court hearings and this coming after 68 court hearings so far in 6 years, it certainly is not clear yet what the outcome will be, but there's certainly movement, if I can put it that way, rather than progress.
Yeah. What's the process like in Australia? Let's assume that it goes ahead, and hopefully it will. She gets extradited to Australia. How long is that process to get her in front of a court? I mean, I'm assuming she'll get there. She'll apply for bail. She won't get it because she has proven to be, it's taken 6 years to get her back there. So, what kind of process can she expect, or can we expect, once she is extradited back to Australia?
I mean, obviously, and I have to preface any remarks by saying I'm not a lawyer, and so this is essentially beyond my pay grade. But speculating, I think what you say is spot on. In other words, she has demonstrated that she is a flight risk, having fled the country a decade ago. And so one would assume that the prosecutors would say she's a flight risk, therefore she should not have bail because who knows what can happen. But obviously that's speaking as non-lawyers, etc. There is obviously a very robust and rigorous and transparent legal system at play here, and which obviously will, you know, her defense will invoke everything that they can, and that is obviously her right, as innocent until proven guilty. But given the history of other cases in this country, I expect that it'll take a significant amount of time before, assuming she comes back here, assuming that actually does get to court and sees the light of day, because obviously defense will need to prepare the case, etc. Also, one of the arguments which her defense has put forward in Israel is that, quote unquote, the media here in Australia have painted her to be, quote unquote, a monster. And that's something, the quote is, have turned Malka Leifer into a monster. And so that's obviously something which,
I think she kind of did that herself. But all right, maybe that's just me. I think she did well on her own. It'll be interesting to see what happens. And I'm sure that for the victims, just the fact that there is some progress, that she'll be hopefully extradited back to Australia. Once that process starts, I'm sure they will feel just that little bit easier, because at least it hasn't been frustrated. She won't continue to frustrate the process in the way that she has been able to in Israel. I think that, and I would hope that once all that has settled, and once she is safely off Israeli territory, that Israel will do some introspection and look at themselves and say, how were they complicit in this, I believe, very embarrassing story, and how they've conducted themselves.
Well, even, to your point, even in the Israeli, in the latest hearings in Israel, you know, some chilling remarks from the state prosecutor in Israel saying that, obviously this is all alleged and unproven so far, but saying that, that one of the, there are three sisters who have been the most high profile alleged victims of this situation, saying that one of them suffered from PTSD, had breastfeeding problems as a result of the abuse, and another even tried to commit suicide. This is coming from the state prosecutor in Israel. So again, all unproven to this point, but some pretty harrowing charges and statements coming out to this point. And yes, the three sisters, the ones who have been interviewed most a lot, they certainly are talking about the fact that they're obviously hoping that this will be moving towards the end of the process, because for them, obviously, it's a pretty harrowing and exhausting process.
President of the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance addresses the Jewish community on Holocaust distortion. Tell us about this.
So we have a monthly meeting of members, and using the environment in which we all live now, we've been using the Zoom facility to engage with speakers from Johannesburg, as in Wendy Kahn, the South African Jewish Board of Deputies National Director, with the leaders of the Board of Deputies in London, with two Jewish leaders from New York, and just a couple of days ago, her name is Ambassador Michaela Kuchler, who's from Berlin, president of the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance, and also has carriage to liaise with the Jewish community in Germany. And while we all know only too well about Holocaust denial, she introduced a new phrase into the conversation, that was Holocaust distortion, which she said, and I've subsequently seen Yehuda Bauer, the world's, you know, most eminent, one could argue, Holocaust historian, has also lately been talking about Holocaust distortion, which he says is more sinister than denial, because denial, you can see it and you can nail it and address it. But distortion, as she was saying, is happening in Germany, and Yehuda Bauer is saying just last week, is conflating truths and untruths. So it becomes more difficult to pick them apart, certainly if you're not a Holocaust historian, a scholar. And she says, and this has been happening more and more increasingly in Germany, and to the credit of the German government, you know, they have appointed a Dr. Felix Klein commissioner to address anti-Semitism. They've appointed this ambassador, Michaela Kuchler, also to address the issue. And so it's reassuring and to hear the messaging coming out of Germany. Also at the moment, Germany chairs the EU. And so that she has taken on, this ambassador Kuchler who spoke to us, to make sure that every EU member country, member nation, is bringing Holocaust distortion into their discourse, into the dialogue, and making sure it's an issue that governments are across and are aware of. So it
I think it's such a powerful word, distortion. And in fact, you know, I'm often not comfortable with the term fake news, for example, because I think a lot of news isn't fake. It's perfectly true, but it's narrative news or it's agenda driven news. And actually distortion is a better description of what that is. And of course here it's applied to, the Holocaust remembrance. So very, very important and very powerful indeed. Finally, a radio station apologizes for a cheap joke.
Well, yes, again. From the, you know, the global issue like Holocaust distortion and Germany to real petty and but nevertheless attracted mainstream media. So there are a number of suburbs which in Sydney which have significant Jewish populations, and one being an area called Rose Bay. So on one of the popular radio stations just a couple of days ago, the two hosts, two gentlemen, were talking about Nose Bay. Now, this is a obviously pejorative reference to the fact that Rose Bay has a significant Jewish population. And then, and to make matters worse, while talking about Nose Bay, one of them said a shout out to the Jewish community. And we serve up our best on a Monday morning. This was last Monday. So as I was asked to comment to the media, and I said, obviously everyone enjoys a good joke, but when it's based on a stereotype and aimed at a particular group of people, it crosses the line. And this was a very feeble attempt at humor delivered in poor taste. And to the credit of the station, they responded by apologizing. And, so pretty petty stuff. And unfortunately, just, you know, putting out fires all over the place.
Yeah. And so it continues. Vic Alladeff, thank you as always.